Let's open our Bibles tonight to Book of Luke, chapter 17. Going to be more of a starting off point. What we're doing on Sunday evenings is we're answering questions, question sermons. If you go back in the foyer, there's a little wooden box, and that's where people put their questions at. So a question about a subject or a doctrine, a question about, you know, maybe a sermon that you heard or a text of Scripture, you just put what the question is down there and put it in that box. I'd ask you to put your name on it so that I can just tell you that I'm going to cover it in advance so you'll know. But if you don't want to put your name on it, that's fine, too. I'll still cover it anyhow. I just wanted to make sure the person who asked would be here for when I covered it. So that's what we're going to be. That's what we've been doing on Sunday evenings. I still have a lot to do yet. I still have a lot to cover. I need to cover, and I'll probably do this next week, cover about Gog and Magog out of the book of Ezekiel. So be sure to keep that in mind. That's what I'm going to plan on doing next. That's not an easy text to cover, but we're going to, nobody ever gives me an easy text to cover. But anyhow, that's what we're going to try to do next week. And good Lord, the good Lord willing. Now, the question tonight is what does praise look like? What does praise look like and sound like? So that's what we're going to focus on. One of the main things that we as God's people should do is we should praise the Lord. We should praise the Lord at church, naturally, as part of public worship. But there's not only public worship, but there's also what other kind of worship? Private worship. You should, everybody here, you know, should do that every day of their life. You have to make a choice to worship, I think. And I think you should do it every day. You pray. And one of the things that we have that our forefathers didn't have is we have our own copy of the Scriptures, too. And I mean, that's amazing. To have your own personal copy of the Scriptures is amazing. And if you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. We'd love to give you one. So it's a tremendous thing to have the Word of God. And we should take time every day to thank Him for the Scriptures. And we should study the Scriptures. And that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And part of the Scriptures is, and part of serving the Lord, is to give Him the proper praise. So that's what we're going to focus on this evening. Now, I hopefully will get done. I'm not going to be detailed with it. I'm just going to mainly hit the points and move on from them. What does praise look like? Well, in Luke 17 is an example of what it looks like in the book of Luke chapter 17. And we'll go ahead and look at verses 11 through 19. Now, I'm going to have to read a lot, I think. But sometimes I'll quote, and sometimes I can't, so you stay with me. I love this passage. It's preached on it many times in 38 years, but I love the text. I think it's important. And it tells about lepers in this text, 10 lepers in Luke chapter 19. And it says, it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were, what, lepers. That means they had the disease of leprosy. And it appears that they were Jews, with perhaps maybe the exception. If you look down at verse 18, one is called a stranger. Why is he called a stranger? He's a foreigner. He wasn't a Jew. I think the rest of them were Jews, and I think this one man was a what again? A stranger. So it draws attention to the fact that this man was a Gentile. Now, it says, as they entered to a certain village, 10 men that were lepers stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, of course, that would make good sense because Jesus could heal the lepers. And he healed a lot of lepers in Palestine back in that time. He was a healer. He was known to be a healer. And so they're requesting that they be healed. They lift up their voices to him. Of course, leprosy would, one of the things that happened when you caught leprosy is you had to separate yourself from the people because it was highly, in certain stages, it was highly contagious. So you had to stay away from those that had leprosy. So in this situation, you have these lepers all gathered together, and that's because they were in the same boat, so to speak. They had the same disease as one another. Now, they wanted Jesus to make them whole because he was a healer and he could heal leprosy. At that time, it was the most dreaded disease of their day. No one wanted to catch it. You caught it, it was a slow, sure death unless God healed it. There was no medicine that could cure it. The only person that could do anything with this affliction was who? God. He's the only one that could. Okay? So he said, when he saw them, he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went. And I like to think this is pretty nice. Of course, in the Old Testament, if you was healed of leprosy, then if you was made whole of it, you had to go to the priest and he would pronounce you clean. If you got leprosy, you went to him and he would be the one that pronounced you unclean in the beginning. But if you was miraculously healed of it, you had to go and he would pronounce you what? Clean. So Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. That's what he did. So this is, boy, I hope that don't tear this thing up too bad. But he goes and they go to him and they ask him with regard to healing. So let's go ahead and read more about that. I hope that stays down in. That's where I'm losing so much weight is what it is. All right, let's read on. Luke 17. And let's go ahead. And he entered a certain village and it met him 10 men that were lepers, and they, of course, stood far off. I explained why that was. And when he saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. Everybody understand why? Yeah, so one thing about it, if you was healed, that's what you had to do. You had to go see the priest. So as they went, they were healed. And one of them, in verse 15, one of them which saw that he was healed, what did he do? He turned back. How many of them? One turned around and went back. And one of them which saw him was healed turned back and with a loud voice glorified who? He gave glory to God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. Isn't that marvelous? This is worship. That's what worship looks like. And we've preached on that this morning. He fell down at his feet and he gave thanks. But what was he in verse 16? This guy was a Samaritan, which implies the other nine were Jews. It specifically points out that this man was a Samaritan. The Samaritans, the Jews hated Samaritans. If you wanted to talk about a sinner back in Jesus' day, you talked about the Samaritans. And that's what this particular man was. But when he seen, he said, now go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were miraculously cured as they went. Sometimes the leprosy was would deform the way their faces looked. It would deform the way they looked. And now as they went, they began to look at each other and they were completely cleansed of it. I mean, everything came back perfect and the Lord made them whole. Well, how many come back?
One.
He says, there are 10 cleansed, but where are the what? Where's the nine? Jesus is the one that asked that. He says, where's the nine at? Was there not 10 cleansed? So, Lord expected these other ones to come back too. Of course, he knows people's heart. This didn't surprise him or anything. He was teaching a text. But once they got what they wanted, what did they do? They went on their merry way. And that's the way people are. That's the way people are to a large extent. I've seen people want help before and in the things of the Lord. And I've sought to help them, and maybe you've sought to help them. And once you helped them, guess what? They were done with you for the rest of their days. I don't see how many times that has happened, and that's exactly what happened here. So there were 10 cleansed. There was not 10 cleansed, but where are the nine? There are not found that has returned to give God glory, save this what? Stranger. So only one turned back and gave him thanks. Well, what I want you to see from the text is praise is giving God thanks, and that's what he does. Did he have reason to give God thanks? He had an incurable disease. It killed most people. But Jesus made him whole. Would you give him thanks? Would you turn around and give Jesus thanks if he healed you of such a dreaded disease as leprosy? Well, God has healed us of a much greater thing. If it hadn't been for Jesus, Jeff Arthur would have died in his sin. And I'd have spent eternity in hell, and I'd have deserved every bit of it. But you know what the Lord did? The Lord bestowed upon me his grace, and he made me whole, and he saved my soul. I believe the Lord in the new birth makes you alive. Do y'all believe that? The Bible talks about in Ephesians 2 how he quickens, and the word quicken means he makes you alive. He makes you alive. The Holy Spirit gets hold of your heart. He opens your heart. Lydia, the seller of purple, says, whose heart the Lord opened. He opens your heart, which means he opens your understanding. And you trust Jesus as your Savior. And that's what happened to me. And he made me what? He made me whole. I praise him for that. I praise him for that every day of my life. Turn to Psalm 69. And let me show you this. I got to pick up the pace. Y'all stay with me. Psalm 69. Psalm 69. I think it's verses 30 and 31. Yeah, that's it. Notice what it says. It says, I will praise the Lord. I will praise the name of the Lord. Now, that's something we determine to do how often? I'm asking you. We do that every day. We should choose to do that every day. You get up in the morning, and first thing I do is I tell the King good morning, and then you praise him. Lord, thank you for giving me another day to live on your creation. I thank you that you saved me, Master. I thank you that you've redeemed me and washed me and give me everlasting life. I do that first thing every morning. I want him to have my first thoughts. Do y'all? I want him to have my very first thoughts. So we seek to do that. And would you choose to do that every day? It'll change how your day starts. It'll have a great effect upon your mental faculties. If you do that, it'll help you. It gets you focused on the Lord is what it does. So we get focused when we wake up on all the things we got to do. But the first thoughts of our man should be focusing on who? Focusing on him and focusing on what he has for us. Psalms 69, 30 and 31. I will praise the name of God with a what? With a song. I'll praise the name of God with a song. That's why we sing in the congregation. It's not wrong to hum a song during the week either if you'd like. You can sing one out if you'd like. But it's nothing wrong with singing, but that's part of public worship too, as we sing. I'll praise the name of the God with a what? With a song. Song is something we should praise him for. And I'll magnify him with what else? Thanksgiving. Yeah, Thanksgiving. Now, you choose to do that how often? Every day. Now, verse 31 says, this also shall do what? Now, I get excited over a text that says something pleases God. This pleases God. When you give him, when you magnify him with thanksgiving, when you praise his name in a song, this shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns or hoofs. You say, what in the world, ox or a bullock? What's that have to do with it? It was the most expensive sacrifice you could offer. So what he's telling you is you giving him thanks pleases him more than the most expensive sacrifice under the old covenant. That's what it means. So, what does praise look like? It looks like giving God thanks. That's what giving praise is. We choose to do that how often? Every day. Every day, several different times a day. I would encourage you to take and make a prayer list of things that you're thankful for. You ever do it? I dare you to do it. It'll change the way you think. God has done so much for us that you can't number what he's done for you. But when you take the opportunity to write down things that he's done and give him praise, I think the Lord likes that. And I think the Lord deserves that. So the first way what praise looks like, it looks like thanksgiving. It looks like thanksgiving. That's what it is. Number two, let's go back to Luke chapter 10. You have to be patient with me now. I'm not going to apologize for turning you to all these texts. I know it seems like that's exactly what I'm doing. But if you can't find it, I'm going to read it. Luke chapter 10. I'm showing you what praise looks like. What's praise look like, number one? It looks like giving the thanks. God's people should be a thankful people. And if you're more thankful, it'll make you happy. It'll make you happy. Luke chapter 10. And let's notice at verse 38. Of course, Jesus, in this text, Jesus is going to visit Mary and Martha. And let's go ahead and pick up verse 38. Came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Well, that was a lot of times incurred making dinner, didn't it? And cooking and things of that nature. And of course, when Jesus come along, he usually brought 12 friends with him. So many times that was a pretty big task on somebody. But it'd be a privilege to do it, wouldn't it? It would be a great privilege to do it, being the master and all. So he goes on and says, and she had a sister called who? Mary. What was Mary doing here in verse 39? Look at it. She was sitting at Jesus' feet, and that's oftentimes what your disciples did. Those that wanted to listen to one of the master teachers would often get on their, sit around their teacher. And they would say, and it would be said that they sat at the master's feet. Paul was said to have been studied at the feet of Gamaliel. You remember that in the book of Acts? That just means they would sit. He perhaps would sit on a rock or something, and they would sit around him, and they would be taught the word of God. So what Mary is doing here is she's sitting at Jesus' feet, and what's she doing? She heard his what? She heard his word. That's what she is doing. She was, here's the master teacher again, and he's teaching God's word, and Mary loved him. And she wanted to hear what he had to say. And she's just sitting there and she's listening to him teach. Wouldn't you like, and you know, one of these days I think we'll do that. We'll be able to sit at the master teacher's feet and listen to him teach God's word. That'll be a great day, won't it? Now, poor Martha. Martha was cumbered about much serving. Her focus was on making the dinner perfect. I've seen women do that, especially at Thanksgiving time. They want everything to be right. You got all the visitors coming. There's a lot of pressure going on, you know. And then before long, women get what? Hateful. Hateful women, they do. That's what happened. That's what happened. Well, they got so many people to feed after, and they want it to be perfect. And then you got these men like Lee that agitate the women to death. So it just ain't a real good situation. Well, Martha was cumbered about with much serving. I don't think she could stay up. Her helper wasn't helping her. And you know, when you're running behind and you want this dinner to be perfect, and then she looks over and guess who's sitting over there? There she sits. Well, sometimes people say Martha wasn't doing anything. But if you say she wasn't doing anything, you'd be real wrong. She was worshiping. That's what she chose to do. She could have chose to do other things, but she chose to do what again? Sit at his feet and worship. Now, I want to tell you a little something before I go any farther. You can choose to do that every day of your life. You can choose to do that every day of your life. And he's given you this right here, the whole book. And you can read it every day of your life. You have opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet every day by sitting at the feet of his word and study it and read it. Get you a notebook and a pen and a paper. Write things down. Look things up. And you'll grow close to Jesus by doing that. What was Mary doing? She was worshiping him. And she was worshiping him by listening to his word. Okay? Now, notice Martha. You know, when you're not close to Jesus and you get cumbered, you know, I've got that way as a preacher before. Downright hateful. You think so, Lee? Amen. Yeah. Downright hateful. Yeah, you're so busy trying to get this done and trying to get this done over here and trying to get this done over here, and you're getting agitated. And your focus gets off who? Your focus gets off Jesus. And that's what happened. That's what happened to Martha. Her focus wasn't here. Listen now. Here the King of Glory was sitting at her dinner table. And she wasn't enjoying his presence. She was agitated, mad at her sister. And even the Lord, really, when you look at it, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? She's agitated even. Hey, she's agitated even at the Lord. Why didn't you make her go to work instead of let me out here do all the work? She's agitated over it. Bid her that she help me. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha. You know, the Lord says your name twice. You're in trouble. Martha, Martha. You're careful. What's careful mean? Had anxiety. She had anxiety. She was troubled. She's worried, aggravated. Careful and troubled about what? Many things. It wasn't just one thing. It was many things she was troubled over. And it affected, what did it affect? It affected her worship. Did y'all notice it? There the king was there, but it affected her worship. But she was so busy with everything else, she didn't have no time to focus on the Lord. And we've all done it. We've all done it. We've got so wrapped up and with all the different things to do and to running and to ripping and doing all these things. And our focus has not been on Jesus. You got to focus on the Master. And that's what she wasn't doing. And we've all done it. Got so busy. Well, how? Got so busy and wrapped up with other things that we didn't have time for the Lord. Verse 42. We'll ask you a question here. One thing is needful. One thing is what? And Mary hath chosen that good part. Who chose the good part? Mary did. What did she choose to do, though? Choose to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to His word. That's the choice she made. That's the choice that you must make every day of your life, because you got the whole book. See how blessed we are. Got Isabella's marker here. I wouldn't take a farm in Georgia for that little marker my granddaughter made me. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. That good part has to be chosen by you. The Lord ain't going to float your Bible and flop it in your lap. He ain't going to slap that television off and then seriously. He's not going to hit that thing with a rock or anything and cause it to switch off. I mean, you got to choose to spend time with the Lord. And you'll be the better person for it. You'll be closer to the Lord for it. You can have great knowledge about spiritual things, but if you don't spend time with Jesus, you're still yet not going to be close to the Lord. I don't care what you do. You got to spend time with Him. Daily time. Time in prayer with Him. Time in His Word. One thing is needful, and Mary chose that good part. Who chose it?
Mary
chose it. Could Martha have chose it?
Yeah.
She didn't choose it. She was preoccupied with the dinner. Of course, you know, it is. One thing is needful. Mary had chosen that good part. Now, notice what he said. Which shall not be taken away from her. All God's people say it. I ain't taking that away from her. She's sitting at my feet and worshiping me and listening to my word. What I'm asking you, saints of God, choose to do that every day of your life. Choose to do that. You choose to do that every day of your life and make a difference. So praise is giving thanks. Praise is also, number two, listening to God's word. Now turn to John 4. John chapter 4. Remember, if you can't find things, don't try it. I'll read it. John 4. Of course, this is a famous text. John chapter 4, and let's notice verse 23. Let's move up to 21. He's talking to a woman here. This woman had had five husbands. You look at verse 18, this woman had had five husbands. And he said, and whom thou hast now is not your husband. And he said, this you have said truly. Because she told Jesus she had no husband. He said, you truly said it. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Boy, she is a sinful woman, wasn't she? Notice what it says now. The woman said, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." He knew everything about her. Verse 21, Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, the hour's come when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. Ye worship, ye know not what." This was a Samaritan woman. They had a duke's mixture of religion, but it wasn't true religion. They had a lot of stuff going on there, but it wasn't true religion. It was false religion. That's why he said, "You don't know what, but you worship, you know not what." Verse 22, "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshiper." Everybody say true worshiper. The true worshiper. Now, if there's a true worshiper, that also means there's a what? False worshiping. There's true worship and false worship. To have true worship, there's two things you have to have. And they're both listed in verse 23. You have to worship in spirit. That's the first thing, in spirit. The idea of in spirit, of course, to worship in spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that helps you worship in the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that helps you worship in the Spirit. And the idea of the Spirit is also, it's just not an outward worship, but it's an inward worship from the heart. I pray before I come to church, and I'm sure you do too, I pray, "Lord, help me to worship you tonight in spirit and in truth," or in sincerity. So he says you got to worship in spirit. What else? How else? What else must you have? You got to have the truth too. Spirit and in. You got to have the combination of both of those to have true worship. Spirit from the heart and in. And in order to do that, whose help do you need again? You didn't have the Holy Spirit to help you do that. And I ask the Holy Spirit to do that before I come to worship. Worship is a big thing with the Lord. Y'all agree? It's a big thing with the Lord. Praise is giving thanks. Praise is listening to God's word. Praise is worshiping in spirit and in truth. Number four, praise is worship in times of hardship too. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. Now that's one of them hard ones to find. That's why I marked mine in advance. The book of Habakkuk. You go to Malachi, and then you go to Zechariah, and then Habakkuk. You go backwards, and you can find it. Because this is a good text to remember. Praise is giving God thanks. Praise is listening to God's word. Praise is in spirit and in truth. And then number four, praise is worshiping in times of hardship. Praise is worshiping in times of... We just don't worship in peachy times, do we? We worship even in... That's the hardest time to worship, y'all think? Hardest times of worship is when you're going through a hard time. That is the hardest time to worship. But that's when you must do it, because what it does, that's you'll be strengthened by the worship. Have you ever been going through a horrible time and maybe praying? I'm just going to use the example of coming to God's house, and you come to God's house and you sung praises and you prayed and you listened to the scriptures being taught. And when you left, you felt how? Revived. You felt lifted up. Well, that's worshiping God in hardship. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, the Lord was going to bring judgment upon His people. And it was going to His nation because of their sin. And it's going to be a great judgment. And here's what Habakkuk, you know, he's the one, of course, he was a prophet. And he was the bearer of bad news. Judgment's coming on your people because of their sin. That's what he did. And here at the end of this book of Habakkuk, he utters three verses that are awesome. I mean, you talk about uplifting verses. This man of God, though this judgment was coming, here's what he says. Now watch this now. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, and neither shall the fruit be in the vines. This means all, I mean, the Lord was going to dry up their gardens, wasn't going to grow or anything. He was bringing judgment on his people for their sin. So the fig tree was not going to blossom, neither would the fruit be in the vines. The labor of the olive was going to fail. The field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. God was bringing judgment on them for their sin. Habakkuk was the one that told them judgment was coming. That's what a prophet did. They didn't add to what God said. God would tell a prophet what to say. They went and said what the Lord said to say. And this was a message of judgment. Though all these things was going to happen, I want you to look at verse 18 and 19. Yet, everybody say yet. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. Although the fig trees was going to not blossom and all this judgment was going to fall, he said, yet I will do what? I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And I will joy in the God of my... I'll joy in the God of my salvation. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. So you can see in the text what he's doing. In this time of hardship, what is he doing? He's worshiping God. He's rejoicing in his God. Though all these bad things was coming, he was going to continue to rejoice in the Lord. Why do we do that? It raises you up. Philippians 4:4, what does it say? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Remember, Job did excellent in Job chapter 1, didn't he? All this judgment fell. Lost all of his financial wealth in one day. Remember what he said? Naked came I from my mother's womb. Naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's worshiping God in hardship. Now I get more, I don't know how to say this. I have more respect for the person that's going through a hardship that praises and rejoices in the Lord. I have such great respect for that. I mean, it's amazing to see. It's easy to complain. The easiest thing in the world is complain and quarrel. And many times that's exactly what we choose to do. You can choose to quarrel or complain. Or you can choose to do what? Worship Him. Worship Him. You're worshiping in hardships. Because that's where you get raised up. That's where you get strength to continue on. So praise is worshiping in times of hardship. You got to do it then. And it gives you encouragement. It gives you encouragement. Okay? Number five. I got to get done now. I done went past the point of no return. Number five. Praise is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The book of Colossians chapter 3 now, I want you to turn to that. Remember what I just quoted to you. Book of Colossians chapter 3. I want you to think just for a moment how you get filled with the Spirit. Now, Ephesians 5 in verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine. In other words, don't be under the influence of alcohol, but be filled with the, instead of being filled with wine, be filled with what? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes up His abode in your heart. But we should seek His filling every day of our life. We should take being filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to seek that every day of our life. You say, Pastor, do you say filled with the Holy Spirit? You always have the Holy Spirit in you. But you're not always filled with the Holy Spirit. No. Sometimes we're, instead of being, to be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. We're not always controlled by the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're controlled by our old flesh. Sometimes the old flesh takes over. Have you ever had the flesh take over in your life before? Can you say you've always been controlled by the Holy Spirit? You can say you're always indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but sometimes He's not controlling your mouth. Wasn't that a bad way to say it? Sometimes He's not controlling how we speak. Sometimes He's not controlling how we act. You're in the, here's preachers like to call it being in the flesh. That man's in the flesh. Well, sometimes we get in the flesh and we act and act in ways that's not very good. So we need to be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Colossians chapter 3. I haven't got time to show you this right now, but I'm going to ask, this will be your study thing that I'm going to ask you to do. Let's go ahead and begin in Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, which also ye are called into one body, and be ye what? Be ye thankful. Now, it says in verse 16, here's what I'm after. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let what dwell in you richly? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, what I just told you happens as a result of the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. Everybody see it? As the word of Christ dwells in you richly, here's what happens. Teaching and admonishing with one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Okay? Now, you know where you have these same words written? There's a little bit of difference, but not much. In Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, this right here is the result of it. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's how you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And how does that happen? By letting the Word of God dwell in you richly. That's how you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me give you an example. You unplug yourself from this book. Don't read it. Don't come and hear it preached. Set it aside. And after a month, don't do this now. I'm just giving you an example. And go 2 months without it, without coming to church and hearing His book, without doing a study in His book every day of your life, and see how spiritual you are. It'll affect the way you live. All God's people say it. So you got to have that. You got to choose to do that every day. And I think how we're filled with the Holy Spirit is by letting the Word of God dwell in us richly. You got to have it. People don't read their Bibles. They don't study their Bibles. They don't have a time for Bible. They spend 4 to 5 hours a day in front of a television set. It isn't that people don't have time. It's just that people don't choose to make time. It'll change your world, boy, when you get into the Scriptures. Praise is being filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Number six, Hebrews 13. Almost done. Hebrews 13. We're talking about worship. We're talking about what praise looks like and what praise is. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13 says this in verse 15. It says, by Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Then it calls praise of what? A sacrifice. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. It's the fruit of our what? Fruit of our lips is giving thanks to our God. Jeff looked this up for me today, and I thought it was awful good. Back in the Old Testament, whenever they destroyed the temple, when the temple was destroyed, they had no place of what? They didn't have no place of sacrifice. They had no place of sacrifice because the temple had been destroyed. Well, they considered a sacrifice of praise as something they could still do. Even though they couldn't offer the sacrifices at the temple, Yet they could still offer to God sacrifices of what? Praise. They could still offer sacrifices of praise. Praise is a continual offering. And we choose to do that every day of our life. Last of all, this is number 7. Praise is also praise. You have praise two ways. You have praise in public. That's your church services. But you also have praise where at? In private. I have a great deal of respect for Brother Daniel, don't you? He was in, he was in bondage at one time in the book of Daniel. He arose to be in command. Think about that. He went into Babylonian captivity, and then later on in the days of the Persians, he became, you talk about someone who had a high position in the city, Brother Daniel did. But he never forgot his God. And you know, Brother Daniel prayed every day, didn't he? You know how many times he prayed? Like the psalm says, morning, noon, and evening. That was his habit. Well, of course, some were jealous of him and his power and his position, and he was a Jew. They didn't like his position and things, and so they encouraged the king to make a proclamation that you cannot pray to any god but to the king. Yes, he did pray in front of the wind. That's exactly right. 3 times a day. 3 times. Now, I don't know about you. If they made that against the law, I might have let the window shut. Now, think about it. I mean, after all, can't God hear you anyway? It was a matter of principle. This king says, I can't pray. I prayed with the sash open or with the window open facing Jerusalem. I prayed to my God 3 times a day on my knees. That's what he did. And when he heard about the proclamation made, he prayed anyhow. He prayed. He got down on his knees and he faced Jerusalem. And what did he do? He prayed to his God. I think that's a big deal. We worship privately. There wasn't a congregation of people there when he prayed. He'd come home and he'd pray. Get alone with Jesus and pray. Let me ask you something. You get alone with Jesus and pray. And if you don't, why don't you do that? I mean, you need to start doing that. Get alone with Jesus and pray. Get alone somewhere where nobody can bother you. Leave that stupid cell phone in the car unless you're facing some kind of emergency or something. And just spend time with your Savior. Choose to do that every day. This man of God considered it such a principle that he chose to do it 3 times a day and was made against law. He did it anyhow. All God's people see it. Well, that's worship. I just barely touched it. Praise is giving thanks. Praise is listening to God's word. Praise is worshiping in spirit and in truth. Praise is worshiping in time of hardship. Praise is being filled with the Holy Spirit. How's that happen? As the word of God dwells in you richly. Number 6, praise is a continual offering. You never stop praising Him. It's continual. And then number 7, praise is both private and public. You need both. You just don't need private. You need both. You got to have both. All God's people say, let's all stand. Thank you for your attention. Y'all's killing me with these questions. Y'all are. No, these are good questions. Back in the foyer is a offering box, but it's not an offering box. The box on this side is the offering box. The one in the foyer is for the questions. You put your questions in there, and I'll attempt to cover them in time, okay? Thank you for coming tonight. I hope the Holy Spirit blesses you and continues to